Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, December 19th, 2022. This would be the last meeting of the AC and the subcommittees for 2022. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded, and we will place the meeting audio on our website, which is wmata.com. Just a few helpful tips for people joining this meeting. If anybody is joining through phone calls, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *9. Everyone joining through the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you want the reactions, click on the raise hand icon that will raise your virtual hand and or lower the virtual hand. If you can utilize these tools, it helps us in knowing who, if somebody is intending to speak, and that also helps us having one speaker at a time. So thank you. If you can stay on mute until you're speaking, it helps any external noise. And as everybody probably remembers, we do have two ASL interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name and then your comment. It helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps the listeners on phone calls knowing who the speaker is. Chair Semaphore, if you permit, I can go ahead and read today's meeting agenda.
Please do. Go ahead.
Thank you. So today's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting agenda would be as follows. Actually, let me share my screen for the convenience of those who can see. And I believe my share is visible at this point. After I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the AAC members. Afterwards, Chair Semaphore will go through the motion of reviewing and approving today's meeting agenda and prior month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we have customer service report, commendations report, and any outreach report. At 4:15, we will have Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. For the record, the Rush Awards have been put on hold until the time meetings happen in person or hybrid. At 4:20, we may have an update about Metro Access Fleet by Mr. Blake. At 4:25, there would be another update by Mr. Blake about sleep detection system for drivers, and that would be pertaining to Metro Access drivers. At 4:30, we have the next topic of discussion regarding inclement weather and Metro Access service. Speakers would be Allison Anderson and Chair Semaphore. At 4:40, the next topic is web booking reported issues, an update on that by Terry and Williams Hall and Allison Anderson. At 4:50, we will have Where is My Ride response application pilot update and customer feedback by Mr. Blake. At 5 p.m., Terry and Williams Hall will give us an update about vehicle global positioning system. At 5:05, we will have an update about call center outage and Metro Access reservations. That would be by Terry Williams Hall and Mr. Blake. At 5:15, the committee will discuss Hedinger Award nominations. At 5:35, we will have public comment section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. At this point, I would stop sharing my screen and I can go ahead and take the roll call. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azar Atura. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy. Tuan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher. Debbie did inform that she may run a bit late today. Marcy Goldstein. Timothy Howard. Steve Kaplan.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum.
Philippa
Mazzell. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsom.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semaphore.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Present.
Thank you. Kelly Simono. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes today's roster. If any of the members join the meeting a bit later, I will be checking the meeting and mark them present as I see them. Chair Semaphore, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
All right, thank you. And just a reminder for everyone to please mute yourself, so because this meeting is being recorded, so we can get accurate minutes. Thank you so much. So first, we're going to do the approval of this amended meeting agenda since the AAC meeting. And it's very full agenda. And then some. Can I get a motion to move this as amended? Or any suggestions, changes? Okay, hearing none. I'm going to take the silences. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nay. Aye. Abstentions.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries to adopt the amended agenda as is. Prior meeting minutes. Are there any changes, additions, suggestions to the minutes from November?
Move to accept them as written.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays? Abstentions? Okay. The motion carries to approve those November minutes as is. Ms. Anderson and team, we're ready for the customer service report and accommodations report and outreach report.
Thank you, Chair Semaphore. Again, my name is Allison Anderson with Metro Access. It is my pleasure at this time to present Kay Clark with MTM, who will report out on our public comment report from last session. Kay?
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I had difficulty there trying to connect to the meeting. Yes, we actually did have one comment to review from last month's AAC meeting. The AAC member provided positive feedback on the new system Find a Ride where they text trip information. She mentioned receiving a text message, which was followed up with a call. The AAC member mentioned that so far, the information she received about the vehicle ETA has been accurate, also reporting a problem trying to delete a comment on her customer profile, which is causing driver confusion and executing some trips. She mentioned that she tried getting it removed, by contacting the eligibility department, but was unsuccessful. Mr. Christian Blake, Managing Director of Access Services, thanked the AAC member for her feedback regarding the Find a Ride system and would check with staff to delete the comment on her customer profile. Closing out the concern, Ms. Allison Anderson, Metro Access Operations Manager, removed the comment from the customer profile as instructed. As far as accommodations, they actually did increase them last month. We have a total of 403 for the month of November. First Transit had 90, Transdev 83, MV had 85, Challenger 36, Next Transportation 91, MTM 3, Eligibility 6, and Abilities Ride 9. And that completes my report.
Thank you so much for your report. Any outreach?
Right now, we have not been conducting outreach from a standpoint of staff going to certain locations. However, any reports or concerns that we receive via phone calls or otherwise letters or whatnot, we certainly do follow up with those customers to address their concerns individually.
All right. Ms. Anderson, is there anyone for the Michael Wilson Award for this month?
Yes, sir. This is always my favorite part of the meeting, actually. So it is my pleasure this afternoon to present Ms. Nicole Ridgway. She is the program manager with MV to present this afternoon's very deserving Michael Wilson Award recipient. Nicole?
Thank you, Allison, and good afternoon, everyone, members of the committee. I'm just elated right now. I feel as giddy as a schoolgirl because of our awardee for the Michael Wilson Award. I'm getting all choked up. The gentleman I'm about to introduce to you, he's phenomenal. He came to us 10 years ago as a recruitment from Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. And he's just a dynamic person. He is a great team member. He leads by example. And we're just so thrilled that he's still with MV Transportation. One thing I would like to say about you, George Thomas, is that it's always been such an honor. It's been an honor knowing you. He always goes out of his way to make sure that we're aware of any issues that our customers are experiencing through his, you know, daily routine of booking reservations. And it's because of his efforts that we have found, you know, things that were critical that we needed to address, and he stays on top of it. So we're just so fortunate and blessed. And I think I've mentioned before, I knew Mr. Wilson. He actually sat right outside of my office when I was in HR. And if anyone embodies the qualities of Mr. Wilson, it's Mr. George Thomas. And so he is our awardee for the Michael Wilson Award for December of 2022.
Yes.
And I would like to turn it over to his manager, Denise Fauntroy, who is our reservations manager. She has a few words that she'd like to say as well.
Yes, so I've been working with George for about 4 years now. He is an excellent employee. He always comes to work on time, and he's always willing to work extra hours when needed. As Ms. Nicole said, he always helps out the customers when customers always have issues with their EasyPay account. He goes above and beyond to try to fix the issue and get it resolved. I believe that George is a wonderful example of an overachiever because he's always willing to help out whenever we need it. We don't have to really beg him or ask him to do it. He's always willing to help out. So George, on behalf of Metro Access Call Center, we would like to present you this award for your great achievement.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. And we also have a $50 gift card for you. and that's an MV hat.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Would you like to say anything? He's very surprised. He didn't know this was happening.
Anyway, to the whole team, I would just want to say thank you very much for this surprising award. I was not expecting it. I've been working here about 10 years, and I love working with the people I work with and the people I work for. So I always expect myself to do the best to make them happy and make my customer happy. Ms. Nicole, I was not expecting this, so I don't even know what to say. You make me cry.
I'm so happy.
Anything to make the work go in front, I'm always in front of it.
You are.
I appreciate the group, and I don't know what to say. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Just thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Ms. Nicole.
Thank you.
Thank you, Member Dennis. Thank you. I was not even expecting it. That was coming out. What have I done?
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nicole and team. And again, congratulations, Mr. Thomas. It's people like you that really make the difference for our operation, our customers, and make it a joy to work with people like you each and every day. So Mr. Thomas is our Michael Wilson Award recipient this afternoon. Next, I would like to present Challenger Transportation to present the Metro Access Safety Award this afternoon.
Oh, wow. Pierre?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Pierre Mabaro, and I'm the project manager with Challenger Transportation. And our recipient is Adrian Barber. I hope he's on the phone with us. I saw his name. I believe he's there. So, you know, I will let my customer service, manager speak a little bit about him, but he's one of those drivers, although he's been, with us since June 11, 2021, only a little bit over a year, but he's just a wonderful person to be. He's really an excellent. He's pleasant to speak to. He has a positive attitude. He's there every morning, say hi, to everybody. None of my staff, if I bring anything wrong about him, he's just pleasant. And he's always ready for service. His safety record, obviously, is excellent. He's outstanding. And, to continue, I'll let my customer service speak a little bit about his personal life.
Good morning. Good afternoon. So, yes, Mr. Barber is absolutely an asset to Challenger Transportation. I'm sorry, this is Stacy Bailey, Stacy Jackson from Challenger Transportation Customer Service. Mr. Barber is always at least an hour early before his shift. Sometimes we think he's on standby. He is not on standby. He is on standby waiting for his route. He is always ready to teach. He's one of our best cadet trainers. Always, even if he's not on duty as a trainer, he's always teaching, especially the new operators coming in. And he does it with such a great positive attitude. His attitude is absolutely contagious. Many of his cadets are always saying wonderful things about him and how thorough he is in his training. On a personal note, Mr. Barber graduated from Duval High School, and then he went on to receive his undergraduate degree from Delaware State University. He's been married to his wife, Monica, for 25 years. Together, they have 4 children and 8 grandchildren. Mr. Barber has extensive experience working with autistic people, which includes kids, teens, and adults. Mr. Barber and his wife have custody of their grandson, Arius, who is autistic. His outlook on life is that if God puts people, it is for a reason. Because of his personal experiences, he has learned what it means to love unconditionally, as well as how important it is to have patience. He would like to thank his family for motivating him every day to strive to do the best he can do in everything he does. At this time, this is why he has been nominated for this award. He is well deserving of it. Mr. Barber, congratulations. You know, you're my number one guy, and I'm going to turn it over to you for any comments that you would like to say.
Thank Challenger management and staff for trusting me with the routes and picks I've been assigned to. Thankful for letting me be the best that I know how to be and who to be. And also, you know, like I say, you know, they put a person or people in your life for a reason. And so with that being said, you know, God put my wife, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't know about autistic because of my brother-in-law. I'm choked up right now. And all I can say is, you know, if I didn't thank everyone. I like to thank everyone because if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here. And, you know, they gave me the opportunity to do what I do best. And that's the, you know, care for people. And that's what I like to do. I mean, and I want to continue doing it. And like when I came in there, it's funny though. And I told this guy, I said, I want your position, not being nasty, you know, not being, but that's, I try to, my goals is high. So not only do I want to be what I'm doing now, I want to be the one that run it. I want to be the instructor of Challenger. Like Mr. Brody's position, that's what I want. And I told him that. So I'm not going to stop where I'm at. I'm going to keep going and do the best that I can do to get to that point. Then once I get to that point, you know, who knows where I'm going to go. But I just want to thank everyone for giving me the opportunity to do what I do and thank my family, because if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be there because they're my motivator. You know, I do things for them, not just for me. So with that being said, I love y'all. They ain't here with me. And I love you, you know, Challenger, for giving me the opportunity to do what I do. That's all I can say. Thanks again.
Thank you, Mr. Barber. And just so you know, tomorrow morning, we have a presentation we're gonna do in front of your peers. I'm just gonna say that it includes a nice size check for you. And we'll see you in the morning, sir.
I got one question. Do I got a route tomorrow?
And thank you for what you do.
You know me, I don't turn nothing down but my shirt collar. I told you that from day one.
Thank I'll you, find sir. Out and call you offline. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank y'all.
And thank you, Mr. Barber, for all you do. Being a special education teacher, I do have had the pleasure of serving many autism students, even currently right now. And they have been outstanding high school scholars that I work with.
Contribute to society. Above and beyond. Thank you, though.
Thank you. All right, to continue with this long agenda, the first thing is we have up Mr. Blake with the first two presentations. Mr. Blake, do you have any updates about this Metro Access fleet in terms of the new vehicle you were talking about? And then you can talk about the sleep detection system that's already in place.
Okay, so good afternoon. My camera's not showing. Okay. I'll get to that in a second. Sorry if I'm not on camera for the moment.
You are on camera. I can see you in one picture and I can hear you in the other.
Oh, you can. Well, great.
Yes. Okay. So you can go ahead.
Okay, so let's do it this way then. One, there's really no updates yet on the fleet. Sergio, I'll give you an update when we get the vehicle. We haven't picked up any vehicles yet, so the Metro Access fleet is still what it's doing for now. Sedans and vans, four transit vans primarily. When we get a one of the minivans, believe me, I'm going to let you all know as soon as one arrives. I promise you. So then the next item. Well, do you have any questions on that?
Hearing any for any committee members? If not, let's go on to the next topic.
So it was labeled as sleep detection system. So
I try to give it as best term as possible, but I'm sure you have a more official term for that.
Right, our official term
around safety.
Right, driver attention warning system. Okay. DAW is what we're calling driver attention warning system. And so, yes, it is activated. It took a little longer than we thought it would, but it is activated. We're now seeing that we need to, what we call, increase the sensitivity of it so that it can pick up more. But I guess I could ask you, I know you're on Metro Access. Have you, in any of your most recent trips, have you heard any warnings going to a driver on your route?
No, I have not.
Okay. All right, now, so in our opinion, now that's one is a good thing. That means all of our drivers are paying attention, especially when they have you on the board on vehicle. But we also believe that perhaps it's not as sensitive as we want it to be, because we want it to send us more, if you will, warnings than we've been receiving. So one, we're taking it as a positive because we haven't had any incidents related to driver attention. So that could be a good thing. But the system is operating, but we're going to just continue to test it out and monitor it to make sure that it's picking up the behaviors we wanted to capture to avoid incidents. We're just trying to make your ride safe and the general public safe, as well as the operator safe. So the system is on there, and I'm sure as soon as there's a situation where you hear one of the warnings, I'm counting on you to send me a note and let me know. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to monitor the service and ensure we're getting out of it what we're expecting.
So my question for you offhand, I'll let other committee members ask, is this already installed in all sedans and vans, number one, and number two? If there was a warning that came along to the driver, does that also go to the call center? So is there like a, you know, third party would get that warning at the same time to take action, or is just with the driver right now if it, you know, decides to go off?
Right. Two good questions. Right now it's in all, we have 755 or so vehicles. It's in 655 of them. And the 100 that it's not is because those 100 still have an older version of the Ranger system installed. But as we continue to upgrade all of those, then the drive cam. But as we continue to upgrade all of our drive cams, eventually it will be available in every vehicle in our fleet. But right now we're about 100 that do not have it in there. And the warning to the driver is live. It's at that moment. And then a clip is created that is then sent to or is available to the management. So that's not instantaneous for management, but management does have access to it very shortly, like we do now. Something happens now, a clip is generated, and there is staff on the Metro Access side. And then there's staff at each of the companies that are tasked, staff members who are tasked with looking at the clips and taking proper action. So that process is not changing. So again, it's not an instantaneous message to outside observers, i.e. people who are not actually operating the vehicle, but just like the process we have now where we get these clips, we evaluate the clips, and then we take action, which could include taking a driver out of service that at the moment we look at the clip and make a determination. That's what we're doing with these clips as well.
Thank you so much. Any questions from other committee members about this?
This is Ms. Rush. Are we going to call it the DAWS system from now on?
I guess you can. Hello? That's fair. I mean, I just simply call it by the acronym DAW. But if you want to call it DAWS, like JAWS, I think that's cute. That's fair.
I thought it was the driver's attention.
Warning. Attention. Driver.
Warning.
Yes.
Attention warning system, DAWS.
DAWS.
Yes. Okay. All right. Okay.
Next, thank you so much. If any other members have comments about this, we can move on to the next topic. The next topic is Ms. Anderson about inclement weather. It's that wonderful time of year where, like last year in January, through Metro Access, a few curves, and with something new with a pause in service that obviously we haven't seen last year. So I'll let you, Ms. Anderson, kind of breach in, and then I'll chime in.
Well, before Ms. Anderson, can I just respectfully add it? Now, I'll admit that pause idea, that was my idea. That was me thinking.
Oh, no, I know. But that was different from previous years.
I doubt if we're going to do that again. I think that while it provided service, which is always I want to make sure you have the service you need. And when the weather is sort of maybe yes, maybe no, In this case, it was a maybe yes, maybe no, but it ended up turning out to be a yes. So that's where the pause end up actually taking place. I think this year, if there is a maybe yes, maybe no, we may settle on no. Mm-hmm. And that's going to inconvenience and upset some folks. But I think that might be more prudent. Nobody was injured or nothing really happened, but there was some, there was just some anxiety a bit there. So we may just have to settle on no and go in that direction. That hasn't been finalized yet, but I didn't want to put Ms. Anderson on the spot for a decision.
Okay.
For my decision. Thank you.
All right, go ahead, Ms. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. Appreciate that. Again, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Anderson with Metro Access. So I just want to give a brief overview of our process as it relates to inclement weather. Metro Access will make service modifications during severe weather or hazardous conditions or other emergency situations. Examples of severe weather may include icy roads, snow accumulations, high winds, and tornadoes, just to name a few. During such conditions, door-to-door service may revert to curb-to-curb service if we cannot safely render door-to-door service. We also ask customers during these times to make sure that their path from the exterior door to their location for pickup is clear and safe for our drivers to perform door-to-door service as applicable. It is important to note that Metro Access primarily operates in neighborhoods and secondary streets, unlike Metro Bus that primarily operate on main thoroughfares. Thus, during severe weather, the neighborhoods and secondary streets are not always the priority to get cleared and maintained for safe travel by the local jurisdictions. If conditions warrant service, as you heard Mr. Blake, service may be curtailed to return trips only or suspended altogether. Metro Access does not take curtailing service lightly and will look to keep service going unless by doing so jeopardizes the well-being of our customers while using public transportation or our vehicle operators in executing the service needs. Metro Access service changes will be announced via a variety of communication mediums, such as Metro Alert messages, local radio and television, the Metro Access phone system, that is the IVR system when you're calling in to the main number, the Metro website, WMATA.com. So those are just a few places, or also robocalls. We try to just use everything that we can to get the word out should there be a modification in service. Also, we try to accommodate as much as possible customer requests during, say, a severe weather event or hazardous conditions to change their travel window if we see an impending weather event forthcoming. There are times when Metro Access will reach out to customers via phone to request time window changes as well should a severe weather event warrant. Thus, it is very important that customers maintain their customer profile via Ellage and their current phone numbers for point of contact. So if we do need to reach out to you, we have a good number in order to reach you should we have to, again, make any service modifications. So that's pretty much concludes at least my presentation as it pertains to weather events and kind of how the process flows. Mr. Semaphore, did you have anything to add?
So what I wanted to add is emphasizing the point on days of inclement weather, the staff at the call center, if, like, say, for instance, your work site closes, they might be able to help you, but I would say, let me carefully say this, if they're able to change your window to get you earlier, saying your work site is closing, but they are not required to do so. You may want to, you know, just emphasize that you may need to have another plan if your work site is closing early and you can't get that vehicle to come pick you up in time before it closes because of inclement weather. And the other piece that, you know, there are, my understanding is in previous cycles like this every year, on those days, you know, there will be leniency to a certain degree, if it's my understanding, Ms. Anderson, in terms of, you know, late cancellations of trips, knowing that, oh, because it's snow, my work site closed or times are modified, those will be taken into account for those days.
Yes, correct. Definitely. Definitely. We will not hold, you know, customers accountable for making those types of decisions that are related to their safety and the safety of our operators when we have inclement weather.
All right, I see hands raised. I saw Doris first, and if new, you can identify guest five.
Hi.
Go ahead, Doris.
I just wanted to ask, I noted that you said during these types of emergencies, you may change service from door to door to curb. And I'm wondering whether that policy makes any distinction between picking up somebody at a single family residence, which in most jurisdictions, you're responsible for keeping clear paths anyway and clearing off your sidewalks, versus multi-family residences, which frequently renters and even condo owners don't necessarily have control about when they're going to clear off sidewalks and such, and at commercial buildings, for example, coming to pick somebody up at work or returning them from work because it's the municipalities that have control over and the building owner have control over.
And as a reminder, everyone has 3 minutes to speak because we got a lot to get through.
To answer that question, we are going to perform door to door whenever it is safe to do so. It's very important. And typically during inclement weather, door to door does become even more important. But we really do need to have the cooperation of the customer to advocate that we have a clear path to safely transport them from that exterior door to the vehicle and back. So we're going to give it our very best. If we cannot perform door to door, then the customer will be notified that we cannot perform door to door and that we will need to do curb to curb.
I would only make the comment that perhaps maybe you guys could help by having something in your announcements or policy about who to go to if it's the case of a multifamily or a commercial building where you're working, and who to at least start that advocacy with.
Thank you, Doris, for that for your feedback. As I need to get to the next guest, go ahead, Ms. Anderson. You need to respond to that.
When we're doing the pickup, we don't know if it's a rental property. We don't know if it's what type of, you know, situation it is. We're just going to assess whether or not we feel that we can safely perform door-to-door service at that location. That's pretty much as simple as that, really.
All right. Thank you, Doris. We need to move on. Who? Guest five, can you?
Chair Semaphore.
That may be me.
I'm sorry, who is this?
That may be me. This is Vanessa, because I could not.
Oh, Vanessa. Okay. You can go ahead, Vanessa. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay. So, hi, Ms. Allison. I have my question, or if you could elaborate a little more, and this is regarding inclement weather. So if the first trip of the day, the government is shut down for 2 hours, a two-hour delay, what is your policy for that first trip?
Well, typically, when you've booked that trip, say you've booked it obviously the day before, and then a decision comes forward that there's a two-hour delay, typically if there needs to be a change, we'll try to accommodate. As Mr. Blake has always said, we are in the accommodation business, but we can't accommodate everybody's change, obviously. So if we can accommodate the change, we certainly will make every effort to do so, but that's not guaranteed.
Well, can I just clarify here now?
Yes,
let's be clear on this. We're saying inclement weather and government opens 2 hours late. You booked your trip for 6 a.m. pickup to be there at 8, but government's not opening to 10. So you want to move that trip. Ms. Anderson is right. We're going to accommodate, and we're going to accommodate everybody. But will your trip be exactly at the time you want it to be? Let's say your trip was 6 a.m. pickup, you want it 8 because it's a 2-hour trip, or however that may be. Will we get you there? Will we pick you up within 30 minutes, 15 before, 15 after that new time? We're not going to guarantee you that. We can't guarantee you that. However, we do guarantee that we are going to go out and utilize our dedicated resources, offer alternative resources, but you're going to get a trip if you want a trip based on those circumstances. So what Ms. Anderson is saying is not that we won't guarantee that we'll try to get you a trip, which she's, I know what we're saying is that the time you ask for that replacement trip cannot be guaranteed, but will we send a vehicle out to get you at some point within a reasonable time of your newly requested time? That answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Thank you. So at that time, is it possible for those that's not necessarily in the Uber program to be assigned an Uber?
The way that works is that if you're not an Uber opt-in customer, and you call in and you say, the government is opening 2 hours late, can I change my time? And we're looking around and saying, yes, we want to accommodate you. Are you willing to take a free trip on Uber or a local taxi if that's the best resource we have? Most customers will say yes. A lot will say no. And those who say no, we will continue to find a resource on the dedicated. But those who say yes, they eventually help, as they say, free up resources on our dedicated service.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next is Dardis Bush, and then we're gonna need to move on to the next topic.
Isn't it the client's responsibility to call when they say 2 hours late? Because how else will Metro Access know about it? You have to call to say you still have to go, right? Otherwise you'll be canceled.
Oh, correct. I mean, or otherwise, if they say it's 2 hours late and you don't call us, you're coming at the time you told us to pick you up.
Right.
It's up to the customer to call us and let us know that they need to adjust their pickup time because their office or other place of, that we're going to be taking them to is not going to be open at the time they originally planned for and scheduling their trip.
All right. Thank you so much for that fruitful discussion. I just want to make sure, you know, every year as things change, customers are clearly aware, you know, of their what the policy is, so they can make safe travel decisions. Next, we're going to go into the IVR, the web booking reported issues that myself and another customer reported last month to get feedback on the results from management.
Okay. As far as I know, Mr. Semaphore,
yes,
you were actually contacted,
yes,
specifically so that we the team could understand a little bit more in detail your experience with the web booking. I think that went rather well, and thank you for giving us a whole plethora,
yes,
of information from the report. It seems as though the issue stems from something relative to WMATA IT issue that group is looking into. And we expect right now, hopefully for that to be resolved sometime this week. So the issue that I think the MV team spoke to you about, and they seem to believe that this particular issue that they are partnering with the WMATA IT group to try to resolve should be taken care of sometime this week.
And so, and for the record, the issues were one that when you go into web booking, there were times it was extremely slow just to mm-hmm. make one reservation, or there were times where you would make a reservation and it did not all the way go through and book. It would book like a partial trip, and you have to carefully
correct.
See on your trip list that it was booked properly. If not, you're going to have to take it out and cancel it and redo it again. And the slowness just going through that process, or there's been trips in which, you know, it booked through and gave me a time, but didn't show up at all on my list. You know, that type of thing. And then there was this times of you know, where you would try to log in and intermittently it would, you know, you couldn't get on the site and it would give me that, you know, web maintenance page message, which I sent to y'all and, you know, took right. a picture of. So those types of things, which, you know, can be very frustrating, especially if, you know, in the times it occurred, seemed like the busy times in which normally people will call in reservations like that 3 to 4:30 hour or right. early in the morning and things like that. And I said, weekends, night times, it tends to be fine. It's just during those busy same periods as, you know, everyone's going into the system at the same time, both on the phone and that, you know, my thought was everyone's using that same resource. It's slowing down traffic.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I would ask is
possibly.
Once we get word that the fix has been executed, we will contact you to
try it out.
Help us test.
On the user end. That is not a problem. On the user end,
absolutely. On the user end. So be looking for us to contact you here shortly, and we'll make sure that we're getting it taken care of.
Any questions or comments from committee members before we move on to the next subject? I'm getting through a lot for the end of the year. The next one is the Where's My Ride application pilot. So I'm going to need customers who are using it to chime in. Mr. Blake, I know this is still in its baby stages. Some reason right now, has it been taken or ceased for me? Because for the past week, I haven't gotten any feedback from any of my trips as to when the vehicle was coming after, I think, around when I told you, it's just stopped coming through. And then the times in which it did come through, but after I arrived on the vehicle for several trips.
Right. No, I didn't change the receiving. So I need to check with them. I know last week we had a...
Yeah, the last text I sent you when I said no trips are coming through, that was, it stopped. None of my current trips, none.
Okay, I will follow up because we had a long engineering meeting, if you will, and we ran through several tests. So you should still be receiving.
Because I had two trips this morning and did not come through at all. I'm going to hear experiences from other people who have it, like Pat and anyone else. But I had two trips this morning.
Pat is back on Uber, so he's not getting
But for me, I didn't get anything from Sunday night. I didn't get anything from the two trips this morning, and I have two more going. And the past, since I said that last text to you a couple of days ago, I'm not getting any trip information. I have not seen anything since.
Okay. I will ask them if they mistakenly did something, because we ran several tests.
Because I thought when you said you ran several tests, maybe you put mine on hold or something went on.
It wasn't my intention to put anybody on hold. So let me find out and I'll get back to you on that.
All right. So Pat, you had a comment?
Yeah, I do. On this, and I think I'm hitting the right topic with respect to this. On a couple of my trips, I have received a notification. Let's say, let me give you times. I would get a notification about 9:15 when I have a trip scheduled for 9:30 that my vehicle will be there in 10 minutes. And then when I call, let's say 9:00 or 9:05, my trip is not there. They said, well, you're not scheduled to be picked up until 9:30. I said, well, but your times that you're giving me for when my ride's going to be there aren't syncing up with the times that I'm expected to be ready. And so that happened to me, I think about 3 or 4 times. So I'm guessing that if I'm getting that, then other people are probably having the same issues.
Okay, yeah, we're following up. As you know, this is a test. We're working on it. So the feedback is important, and I will be following up on that.
Okay, but it's more of a syncing issue, so that if it's gonna be getting there around 9:00, what should I be listening to? What I have on the system already that would say 9:30, or is it overridden by something that says 9:00? I'm not sure, quite sure. So far, when I verified it, they said, nope, you're still at 9:30. Sort of disregard the earlier notions.
Well, I would just say if the 9:00 is before your pickup window, you certainly can disregard that.
Right, but why would I be getting it to begin with?
Well,
it's more of a process question.
That's the question we have to see.
Okay.
If the vehicle is going to be arriving at 9, but maybe we have to get the vehicle and the system to understand that your window, because this is a vehicle, this is an imminent arrival system. But if the arrival is before the pickup window, we need the system to understand that it shouldn't be sending you a note that would predict the vehicle getting there before your pickup window.
Okay. And
I've gotten messages like that where it's going to show up well before my pickup window. So I'm thinking, okay, the driver's just sitting around, but obviously that's not the case. But to be specific, the last time I received any text for a vehicle has been Friday, December 9th.
That was the day we were working on it. So something happened that day. So I'll find out again.
Since December 9th, I have not received anything from my trips.
Okay, I will follow up.
All right. Any other customers who are in this program that's on this call want to share experiences?
This is I do not see anybody's hand up at this point.
All right. Hopefully,
Vanessa just raised her hand.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
I am so sorry. I do want to interject. This is Vanessa regarding Uber and our Metro Access trip. So if you have a Metro Access trip scheduled and you have Uber, but you're in a location where Ubers are hard to come by, can you revert back to your Metro Access trip? Because we've been experiencing that in areas further out in Maryland where Ubers are sparingly.
So the answer to your question is yes. And what happens is like I've seen yours, and what I do generally speaking is we try two or three times, we'll reschedule it, because what happens is the Uber at night or early in the morning will say the trip costs one amount, let's say $5. Then you get there and you click on the link and you want to be picked up, and they can't find a driver willing to come out to your area to transport you for $5. So they'll say no drivers available. You will see that, and or you would hear that. And then I would get a notice about it. The call center would get a notice about it as well. But generally, I see it quicker because I have direct access and notification. Oh,
that's interesting.
I quickly rebook it. And then when you rebook
it. Oh, that's you doing that.
That's me.
I didn't know.
But I won't do it forever. But I'll rebook it. And when you rebook it, maybe Uber charges you $10. Well, you're still too far out there with all the, you know, the big money houses and stuff, so they don't want to go out there. And maybe I'll try it one last time and they'll say $20. That will get a driver. But if it doesn't get a driver, what I then do is contact the call center and say, please contact the customer and quickly dispatch a Metro Access vehicle for the customer. But if you hear that you need to proactively say to Metro Access, hey, you sent me an Uber link, but I have an important meeting in the morning and I don't want to take a chance that there's no Uber drivers available for me, you can certainly call the call center and they will cancel that Uber trip and send you a Metro Access vehicle.
But what if I'm outside of my window, because you can do Uber at any point?
And that's fine too. If this is on the day of and you took a chance to say, let's see if the Ubers have come, and Chris keeps sending the trip and it's not getting you anything, if I don't call the call center first, you certainly can call the call center and say, please send me a Metro Access van or sedan, because Uber is just not serving out here today and I need to get to where I got to go.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Vanessa, because I see two other hands. Well, I know this changed into Uber, but it's important. I will say this. I'll throw my quick chime in. When that has happened to me, where it cycled out a couple of times at night, like in Virginia, maybe I've been lucky. I've been successful in all my Uber trips. Now, that usually would pause me. I've talked to, Nick, one of the managers, and after staff tried to resolve it and couldn't even do get me a trip on the Uber, he was able to do like what you needed to do to get me picked up. So I've been successful in those outlier places, or when Uber has timed out after a number of tries. But that's just me. Pat, I'm going to take Tejuan first and then you, since he hasn't spoken yet.
Good afternoon, everyone. Tejuan Farmer. So
Tejuan, I'm sorry.
I have had no problem. No problem, Paul. So I have had a, since the first issue's already kind of been addressed about how calls, can cycle out through Uber, get timed out, I usually take the proactive approach as well. I'll call in to the call center, either have them push it again, or if necessary, I will have them converted to a Metro Access. That is far and in between, but it can happen. My particular second issue that came up recently, and it only came up once, but I feel at least Mr. Blake or those involved should be aware of it, was that I received the Uber link on a particular trip late early in the morning, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And this was for a trip that morning, relatively on the early end. Officially in the system, I had it booked for like maybe 7 a.m. So I have the link. I haven't pushed yet, and I haven't pushed at the official time. So I've, going to kind of float the Uber link and use it a little bit later, maybe like 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. At the time of the official trip, a Metro Access vehicle showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wish I could tell you, I'd have to look that date up. But it happened recently, like within the last week. probably on a Wednesday or Thursday, because those are the days I'm going into the office. And I got the call. Metro Access, the trip's outside. I'm like, well, I have an Uber link. They're kind of like, I don't really see it at this point. I'm like, okay, well, I have the link. So I had to mark that as I'm not taking the Metro Access vehicle that in this case is double booked the resource. So mm-hmm. I said, my biggest concern, and this is a conversation I've had offline to one of my colleagues here. I'm not trying to have that marked as a quote unquote no show or late cancellation, because somewhere in the system, we have a little glitch that has me with the Uber link, which is my preference if it's available, versus a Metro Access vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I will say, but a few times this happened to me, I just called and said, well, y'all booked an Uber. You can see this. They're like, yeah, okay, then you need to cancel the ride because I'm already on the Uber going to where I need to go. You know, it does rarely happen, I guess, you know, and their wonderful defense, they want to make sure you get picked up. But obviously, you don't want to double use a valuable resource that needs to be used for other people. So I understand what you're saying. Okay.
Right. So officially, this will not count as a no-show or late cancellation. And even if somehow that slipped through and you received a warning letter, you certainly just send that note. It's not a big deal. You call me or you put it out here as you've done already on this meeting. I see all the warnings and suspensions. But generally speaking, what happens in a case like that? Yes. The team at the call center somehow just did not mark down the fact that they've received a list of trips that are to be what we say put on hold for the next day because they've been moved to abilities, right? And your trip is one of them. It is absolutely not our plan to send two vehicles for every customer. That's not the purpose of this program. So that's an error. It happened a lot early on. It happens rarely these days, but every time it does happen, you know, it's good to know about it. But as the customer, you happen to have a choice that day. You could take Metro Access, as I like to tell the customers in these kind of situations, you could take Metro Access for $6.50, or you could take Uber for free. And that was up to you that day. You chose Uber, and that was your privilege and opportunity because the computer selected your trip that particular day. But no, you don't have to worry about being charged a no-show or a late cancellation for that. That's on us. The system should be updated on that particular day. Why it wasn't updated, perhaps with every trip, including yours, I can't say at this moment as I'm just hearing about it. But whenever a customer tells me about it, I do have the OCC go back and look at it to figure out where the ball was dropped to try to make sure we don't drop it anymore. But it does happen from time to time, but certainly not to the extent it was happening early on in this program.
I absolutely agree. It is very rare for such a thing to happen. Just wanted to bring it to your attention. It was not a traumatic situation, but just so you're aware, and just for clarification, the choice wasn't difficult at all.
Thank you so much. So, Pat, yes, I see your hand, but Miss Anderson has her hand up. I'm going to let her comment and then get back to you. Okay, Pat?
Great. That's fine.
All right. Go ahead, Miss Anderson.
Yes, I just wanted to say our no-show team, as Mr. Blake has mentioned, from time to time may see that. So they're very aware of it, and they clear it up. They don't penalize a customer should that in a rare case happen. So the folks that are doing the reviews, they're well aware.
All right, Pat, you're up next. Oh, sorry. Know
about that.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. So a couple of things sort of in the same vein as Tuan. I had Tuesday the 13th, I had a 6 a.m. pickup. I ended up starting to get text messages at 2:30 in the morning saying, that my ride was going to be there, hopefully around six or whatever, which was rather annoying. I didn't expect something to be coming in the middle of the night. So I think I got about four text messages early between 2:30 and 3:30, 4 a.m. So I don't know if that's just normal. Rides were okay for that day, aside from that glitch. The other issue I had was on Sunday, and I don't know if this is a bigger problem, but I moved over to Uber and went to call Where's My Ride, because, you know, I'd said I need to be picked up in the rear, and they said, oh, it's coming to the front. There's no way to change that. Somehow the Uber driver didn't get that message. So when I called into Where's My Ride, they would try to switch me over to Abilities Ride four times, and I would continue to get Where's My Ride. And by the time I finally got them switched over to Abilities Ride, they canceled the trip. So then they rebooked the trip, and then that's what, another, I think between my trips going to church on Sunday and trips coming back, because it was just glitchy, I think I had like 15 to 20 texts coming in, rather disconcerting. Which text should I be responding to? Where's the driver? You don't really have an easy way to figure out where the driver is, when he's going to be showing up. It's much more difficult than it needs to be. I should think that if I'm on an Uber, I should be able to pull up and figure out where the Uber driver is, send him a text message the same way as I do at any time, letting him know exactly where I would be and how to find me, because I can't find him. So he needs to know to be looking for a blind person, you know, with wearing this and that and the other outfit, with a white cane, that sort of thing. And of course, I can send that to Where's My Ride. And of course, I hope they send it over to Abilities Ride, and then Abilities Ride sends it over to the driver. That's three people. And that's where the complication is. And I don't know if there's a way to simplify that process, because if I'm having this issue, I'm sure other people are too.
Okay.
Yes, well, Doris, I see your hand.
I'm kind of confused. I think we're going to have to talk one-on-one about what happened with you that particular day, because
Sunday.
Everybody who gets an Uber trip gets the map and the ability to communicate with the driver. So we have to figure out what happened there. Now, in terms of, so let's start back though. Let's start when you say you got a text message at 2:30 in the morning.
Right. Let's say that was Tuesday the 13th.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was that from Uber or was that from Metro Access?
I want to say
it was from Uber, because
That's from Uber. And they say, you know, this trip is good until midnight tonight. Why am I getting this at 2:30 in the morning when my pickup's not till 6 a.m.?
Well, let me explain why. Okay. Because as Paul was saying earlier about difficulties he was having with, I guess, web booking or one of the applications, when there's a lot of people using it, the system kind of slows down. Well, if we put the trips in, let's say 6 p.m., 7 p.m., but there are thousands of these or hundreds of thousands of these around the country and around the world going into this system, there are times when the system is just going to be very slow. And by the time it gets to your particular trip, may not be to 2:30 in the morning. So it's sending you the link to your trip as soon as it can clear itself up. Now I'm working with Uber and saying, hey, I think you could do a little better than that. But am I going to be able to guarantee you or any customer that you won't get your link at certain hours? We can't do that at this point. We can't. Maybe in the future we will be able to. Maybe we'll be able to have the computer recognize the pickup time, even though it's a flexible trip and you pick the time you're going to travel. Right now, there are going to be days, I'm sure, as more and more people use this through us, as well as other entities around the country and around the world, there are going to be times that their system slows down and the actual time you get your link could vary. As long as you get it.
Yeah, and actually, in this particular case, the system speeded up. If I have a trip at 6 a.m., I don't need to know at 2:30 or 3 a.m.
No, but what I'm saying, Pat, the system, I wasn't up at 2:30 sending the trip.
No. I get that.
Hear me, Pat. I'm saying is I didn't wake up at 2:30.
And then we need to close this topic
Paul. Hang on, Paul.
Okay. Yes, please, Paul. If I send the trip at 9 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
my hope is that you would receive it by 9:30 or 10 o'clock at the latest. But if the system is very slow, you may not get that. Even though I put it into Uber at 9, you may not get it until 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, I got you. That's the transfer of that trip from Metro Access to Uber, that's a manual transfer?
No, it's a digital. It's and it's a batch. But when you're uploading thousands of trips and other people are uploading hundreds and thousands and you all add it all up into one big database system, especially if everybody's doing it around the same time, it slows their system down. Yep.
Understand. Okay.
Coming in. So no, the goal isn't to wake you up at 2 a.m. for a 6 a.m. trip. But unfortunately, at this moment, I cannot guarantee the exact time you will get a link.
Right. Okay. And to get Paul's meeting back on order, why don't we talk offline about the Sunday stuff? And then and we can see where the issues were there.
I would just say in the short term, the answer is call me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not kidding. A problem, but that's fine. We will.
But let's talk about it so I can learn more about exactly what happened.
Exactly. Not a problem. All right. Paul, you can have your agenda back now.
All right, because we're already 10 minutes behind in several topics, and we have to talk about Hedinger. So I'm going to take Philippa. Doris, I'm going to put you on customer comment period so you can give yours because we need to move on. Philippa, you're the last person. Go.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I was just going to say I kind of don't mind that the message alerting me that my ride has been booked comes early in the morning because then I'm not as panicked when I get up if I have an early morning meeting or something. But my question was why the Uber showed up. I went to an event on a Saturday, didn't really know what time it would end. I think I put a 4:30 window. And by the time the event was ending, someone gave me a ride. So once I got home, I was going to notify Metro Access that I had a ride. But then people were calling me, telling me the Uber was there looking for me. And I had never pressed the button for I'm ready. So I've already made, the guys aware of this. I spoke with the new, but I, just wanted to put that out there that was also a concern. So I'm done.
All right. Thank you again, Doris. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you a customer comic. We have to move on. So the next topic we're going to do is the vehicle global positioning system. Ms. Williams-Hall, I'll be glad to say I start to see the little garments on the vehicles this week, if she's here. Or Ms. Anderson, you're going to be giving that
I'm
update.
Going to be giving it.
Oh, okay.
Again, this is Allison Anderson with Metro Access in for Ms. Williams-Hall. So, Mr. Semaphore, you are correct. The garments went out and are being used as of this past Friday. In our vehicles. So that's really about it.
So
they're out there, they're being used.
So it's on every vehicle right now, or you still have a few more to outfit before the end of the year?
I believe every vehicle has been outfitted with the garment. Don't get me on that, but I believe everyone has been outfitted.
Because I just noticed on trips from Sunday night on, I'm like, oh, all of a sudden they appeared.
Yes. So that we're very excited about that because it gives our operators real-time traffic information.
Oh, and I saw that.
Yeah, to be able to utilize. So we're very excited about that.
All right. For those who choose to use it, but a lot of them, they like to have that extra tool to be able to get through.
Absolutely.
In addition to what the Ranger has to offer. All right. Thank you. Anyone that has questions on that specific topic? Because we still got two to go through. If not, we're going to the call center outage and Metro Access reservations update. Oh, I guess both you and Mr. Blake. So we had a few outages, one recently where I, you know, happened to call in and it kind of hung up on me, or I got an arrival call with a strange, bizarre message about TTY hanging up on me on that day. And of course you responded, Ms. Anderson, it was a brief outage. Is there, because my question always is, you know, is there, a, even for the briefest of outages, is there like a backup plan, or what is the issue this time with that particular short outage?
Well, we've had, just here recently, we've had some planned outages as things were being done to do some work on the system. We've had some unplanned outages. The one that you just brought up was a brief outage. It was about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so depending on when it may come during the day, we look at, you know, what we need to do to make sure mm-hmm. that our customers are being served. So, for instance, we had an outage last week. And again, it was about an hour, but it came at about 2:20 in the afternoon, mm-hmm. right during prime time for customers calling in to book trips. So we made the decision that we needed to extend the hours of reservation such that, you know, customers had the opportunity to book their trips and get their travel needs. So we know that there's been a lot of flux going on as it relates to our system, some of which are not just it's not just Metro Access, it's kind of authority wide, and we're obviously a part of that. And sometimes we have to make adjustments
mm-hmm.
In order to accommodate. And so our team right now, you know, we recognize the issues when we have those unplanned outages, we get after them. Such that we can resolve and stabilize the system. So
my wondering and question is, well, for you, Mr. Blake, two things is, well, the first overall thing is with this, I know it's mm-hmm. not something that's consistently going on, obviously, because y'all don't plan mm-hmm. to have these. Is it, or maybe we need to maybe educate customers to say, hey, if this is going to happen with this, and I'm tying this in with the issues that are still lingering with Metro Access reservations, because I see the, you know, the messages that come on when I book trips online about reservations being a lot longer and stuff like that, which I'll delve into a minute. Maybe educate customers, say, hey, since you can do trips up to 7 days in advance, if you know where you're going, you know, and maybe there's something to add into the customer guide online that's the breathing, living document, say, hey, you know, or part of the IVR, start planning your trips. If you know where you're going ahead of 1 or 2 days, just plan it out. So when these things happen, you already have the trips booked if you're able to do so, you know, just kind of being proactive and forward thinking on the customer end. That's one piece. Second, is there a secondary alternative number for, you know, that can be posted or whatever for Metro Access so they can reach, or is it tied to the outage, the phone system, where even if there was a secondary number, they wouldn't be able to reach anybody? So those are the two things that are floating in my head.
Okay. Well, let me address the first. Definitely great idea. And we've done some of that as it relates to trying to encourage customers to maybe call on the off-peak hours versus the peak hours so that they can reach a reservation agent per se a lot quicker, things of that nature. So we can certainly do some marketing, if you will,
yeah,
to try to encourage customers to maybe call in at different times, or, you know, call further in advance.
Yeah, so with your whole trip, so that so that there is not this sense of concern and panic. Oh, I can't get my trip in that day, and whether or not I may have to do same day booking. And then even with that, that can take a consuming time the next day, possibly to do, starting at 6 a.m. as I found out. I'm just throwing that out there. Any comments on this specific? The other piece is, I guess with the reservations, with the messaging, is it still an issue with, I guess, having enough reservationists on hand as a resource, why it's taking longer? Or is it the system itself?
No, that's not here recently been the issue of staffing. Every once in a while, we may need a bit more staff, but I think we're covering that. More the issue here recently, and these have been with planned outages, that sometimes we've had to go down to one server versus two servers. So when we go down to one server, say for the fairing, that slows things down. So when it starts to slow it down, obviously, it's going to take a little bit more time to book customers' trips. And we try to get in front of that with staffing a little heavier, but sometimes even that is not going to totally resolve the situation. So we know kind of what's happening there, but sometimes we kind of have to deal with it for a short term for some maintenance work to be done on the system such that we don't have a bigger issue and, have a bigger problem. So.
All right. Committee members, any comments chiming in on this topic? Okay, don't hear any. No,
do you have any hands up, Chair Samuel?
Okay, all right. I don't even hear from Mr. Blake. Okay, seeing that they are still working on the issue.
I would just say, if you definitely wouldn't hear from me, I would just say Miss Anderson really laid it out very well,
and we appreciate your honesty, obviously, and transparency of the issue that's still ongoing. Because I know you're like, well, we put the resources out there, but obviously now there's technical issues tied to that.
Right. And we're asking patients, please continue to be patient with us on this regard. This is one of the few things as a management team, we don't necessarily have total control over computers, these things, but we're certainly working with our partners. And these are generally our partners here at WMATA, not necessarily any of the contractors. So we're really on this. We have a new team here that's definitely committed to WMATA's IT infrastructure and making it the best in the world. I know these gentlemen, and I've spoken with them, and they're committed. And we just ask customers, please be patient with us, but don't be afraid, like you said, to book many trips ahead of time. Don't be afraid to call back. We will answer. And and management at the contractor is committed to making sure all customer trips that are needed are booked. And we're going to continue to push them on that end as well. But we just ask customers to be patient with us as we try to figure out what's going on with these technical issues that are impacting our service right now.
And that's why I'm, trying to think out loud or any other AAC must think out loud ways that we can be proactive to work with this process until it gets resolved and things are quote unquote normal again with the reservations and IT issues that are intertwined with it. Okay, hearing none, I'm going to move on to Hettinger Award nominations. I guess Anu, you wanted to do something with that, or?
Chair Samuelford, this is Anu. So at the AAC meeting, we talked about it briefly and heard that conversation. An email was sent to all the AAC members to provide them especially the new members, to provide them with the process of the head engineer award and to give slight a little bit of the background about Mr. Hettinger. Now, I believe the committee can discuss either now or further via emails, decide on, go through the nomination process, complete that, do award if needed. I don't know if you will have more multiple individuals nominated, or I do recall there was one nomination at the AAC, and accordingly we can set a schedule where we can hold the AAC the Hettinger Award again virtually. Last 2 years we have held the award during
Denise
hour of the meeting virtually.
All right,
and we can do that again.
All right, Denise, I need to step away the mic for a minute or two. Can you take over the meeting as you're going to respond?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Okay, I thought anew at the AAC meeting, we did discuss making the new members aware of who Mr. Hettinger was and what why we have the award, but I thought we also asked that you would send us a list of achievements for the nominee that I had.
Yes. Okay.
And I didn't receive it.
You are correct, Ms. Rush. The email I sent out was, that part was not included. I would be sure to send that out today.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody that wants to discuss the Hettinger Award any further? Okay. Does everyone on the committee understand or have any questions about the Hettinger Award? And do they understand that you can nominate anyone that you think, and you have to send in what they have achieved and why you think they should receive it? Hello?
Okay, so since no one is making comments, I can, Doris just raised her hand. But Ms. Rush, I would just-
And I saw Amber Wood's hand also raised. I'm back.
Chair Simon Ford, Amber Wood had a hand up for a comment.
All right.
The comments.
Is this related to this topic of the of Hettinger Awards, or is this something for customer comment period?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Doris.
Yes, this is easier for me to do audio. Real quickly, this will be customer comments. Yes,
all right, so I want to save it for them because this time for that, I want to, so we'll put you, make sure you're on the list, okay? Because right now we're discussing the Hettinger Award and we want to keep on topic with that.
All done. I respect that and thank you.
Thank you. All right, New will make it noted to make sure you're in customer comment period, along with Doris. All right, Doris, is your comment related to this topic of Hettinger Award?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, my question is to clarify with Ms. Rush. Are the nominees only to come from members of the AAC? Is the nominee supposed to only be a member of the AAC, or can we nominate somebody from the public?
I'll answer that. No, the Hettinger Award is to be anyone you believe has greatly advanced the cause of accessibility on public transportation. Now, it's over the last few years, it's become kind of AAC dominated nominating process, and that's, you know, that's okay if whoever is nominated, you know, staff doesn't have an objection to that, but you absolutely should be looking globally, if you will, at least regionally, for someone who has clearly impacted the cause of accessibility and public transportation. And while that absolutely certainly could be a member of the AAC, it does not necessarily have to be a member of the AAC.
Yes, thank you for that clarification. It's very important. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. Any other comments about any considerations or questions as it relates to the Hettinger Award? Or any nominations of anybody?
Chair, this is, and I see no hands up. So in that case, how would the committee like to proceed? We can perhaps hold the award ceremony sometime in February.
So did y'all want to hold the award ceremony in February? Is that what, or I need feedback from the AAC members.
Paul, this is Pat.
Yes.
I think that's kind of what we said in a little bit when we're talking about due dates and what it was all about. And I think we mentioned that last meeting with AAC. I think February would be good. It's we've done it the last couple of years. We've had good attendance. I'd go with February.
And I presume this would be a virtual event still. Oh, okay. Yep. Got it. Yeah,
of course. Same way as we've done the last couple of years, two, three years.
I know, because I was the last in-person Hettinger Award in 2019.
Sure, Zamalford, this is, and so we could possibly, just as a recommendation to the committee, we could possibly hold the ceremony virtually during the February AAC meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be February 6th.
And does that seem fine with the AAC members here, if there's no objections, or with the chair of the AAC, Pat?
That's fine.
Yes. Yeah. This is Ms. Rush. I don't think we can definitely say that, Pat, because there are a lot of members who aren't here today.
Right. Something
like that,
that
we're going to
right.
Like that, it should be at the AAC meeting.
Right. We can confirm it at AAC. I'm just saying, right, as far as recommendations going here, you know, generally from the subcommittee, if they've got any thoughts and ideas, according to what we've done in the past, they make their recommendations to the full committee, and that would be a recommendation to the full committee. I agree with you, Denise.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
So tentatively, are we possibly then pushing it back in after maybe filtering through maybe January and February? It sounds like we're looking at a possibly March date perhaps for it, give it 2 months.
No, I think that we can make a decision on when to have it in January.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
I think we hold it in February. That would be the recommendation. That would be my recommendation coming from here. We hold it in February. We have had the nominations out for how long, Anu?
I'm just going by my memory. I believe the nominations were supposed to be received by the end of the month so that we could discuss it at the AAC in January,
right,
come to a decision for the February. The date for the possibly February, and accordingly we can make arrangements, because we would need a good month to place the order.
And we've done that. This is the schedule we've done in the past, and we've been able to meet the schedule, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So that would be kind of my recommendation. We have the nominations out, you know, the request for nominations out there, close the end of the month. Mm-hmm. We'll put it on the agenda for AAC in January.
Yes.
And make a decision then, and
Yes.
And I believe, Anu, if I'm correct, wasn't it 5 o'clock? We had it from like 5 to 5:30 before or something like that.
In past, what we did is we did it at the beginning of the meeting and then
5:30 to 6. Then we did it
5:30 okay. to six or mm-hmm. so. And then yeah. we continued forward with the regular meeting.
Okay.
And beautiful. I see Dr. Posner has his hand up, and I don't know if Doris just raised her hand. Doris, Dr. Posner, did you want to go ahead and make a comment?
Go ahead, Dr. Posner.
Yes, I would. Just a suggestion to broaden the nominations. We might contact former Hedinger Award winners that aren't on the committee. Robbie Worth is here tonight, so Robbie knows about it. But Kathy Hudgens is one, Antonio Stevens. And those are folks that aren't in meetings every day. And they clearly know other people like themselves that have worked very hard in the field of accessibility for transit. So just as an outreach to other winners that aren't members of the committee and don't know that the award is taking place. And I would also invite them to come to the ceremony when it happens. Thank you.
Well noted. Were you going to say something to Ms. Rush?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, because your mic was on. Okay, so I guess Anu, we have a plan. I was going to circle back to now customer comments. If there's any other thing that we need to discuss Anu about this, that we need to come to an agreement.
Mr. Chair, I had a comment.
Not
acknowledging it.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. We were asking. So go ahead.
I mean about the topic.
About the topic. Go ahead. Go ahead, Doris.
Okay. What I wanted to say is that I'm concerned that we get the message out to the whole AAC and give them time to make nominees, and particularly because we're clarifying that it doesn't necessarily have to be a member of the AAC. And I know now that I had that clarification because, you know, I work on the TPB and I work, in other jurisdictions that I might want to nominate somebody. So my concern about actually having the award ceremony in February rather than March, as Paul mentioned, was giving time to get, if it is somebody who's outside of the AAC, giving them time to be able to get it on their, know about it and get it on their schedules and actually be, you know, available to participate in the meeting. So that's the comment that I wanted to make, that I think, you know, your idea of pulling the ceremony back to March and maybe even doing the vote in February might be helpful. I also want to note that at least for Virginians, February 6th is right in the middle of our General Assembly session, and we may be called to the General Assembly on very quick notice. So, thank you.
All right. Sandy, I see your hand is up, and it's related to this topic, right?
No. I messed up.
No, talking to Sandy.
This is Sandy. Yes, it's related to the topic. Yes, if it's being broadened and you're considering reaching out to former members, former Hedinger awardees for their suggestions, we're coming up on the Christmas holidays and it might be difficult to contact them and give them a chance to get back to you by January 6th and have the nominations paperwork was due the end of December. So I agree with Doris, there's a bit of a time crunch. And maybe extending it one more month might be helpful.
And I know we're definitely probably open to that, Anu. So I guess the plan now, given all the feedback, is we discuss it in January, see what we have, and hopefully, you know, we, you know, rediscuss this again and see if we get, you know, enough people. And if not, you know, there's that possibility we might, you know, extend it until, you know, into, you know, making final decisions in February or January, but depends on what we get come back. And, you know, we want to accommodate everyone's, you know, concerns.
Chair, sure. We can be flexible and schedule the Hettinger Award ceremony as it best suits everybody's schedule. We, from our perspective, we have always tried to invite the individuals who have received the award in past, even in the last years. 2021 award, we did have several of the awardees attending the event. To order the award, and I'm just sharing this for everyone's general information, we must need at least a month. So that's the reason I was saying that if, depending upon how the committee wants to move forward with the discussion, after January, we can see how quickly we can place the order and how quickly we can get that.
All right. Seeing that, I do want to start with, we only have 20 minutes left, and I know there's people who want to comment. I do want to start customer comment period. Anu, I'm going to go ahead with Amber Woods and anyone else you have on your list, and then Doris in that order. Amber, you go first. We have please keep your comments concise, brief, and to the point, up to, you know, 3 minutes, so that we can accommodate everybody, because we must end at six.
Timer will begin when you start speaking.
All right, so you first is Amber Woods.
Mm-hmm. All done.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
All right, so I was in the first meeting of this month, and I was invited to come to this meeting. One of the things I addressed was the fact of low ridership and the concern, the correlations with WMATA, with the Metro Access and the bus and rail. I noticed that in my neighborhood, people use the back road as 210 Junior, as I call it. They're really fast and speedy, and so that could be also a correlation of low ridership with the W14. And it used to be the W13, but now it's the W14. And so that was my main concern of if they are inaccessible due to the safety concerns of these certain bus routes, will that be looked into deeply? I sent an email in case of like how one can get on the board as well. And then another question I have is, do you also come to, for example, a commissioner's meeting in like particular jurisdictions, like let's say where I'm from, Prince George County, I am a commissioner, and I was wondering if you do like speaking engagements of that nature to explain maybe for others who would like to learn more about the process of Metro Access, et cetera. Is that feasible?
So with outreach, I'm looking at, is Ms. Anderson here? she can help best answer the question about outreach.
Absolutely. We do perform outreach and do those very things of going to certain organizations if requested and being available to answer questions or give more information about the service that we provide. So primarily now, I think that goes through Mr. Colbert's office primarily, but yes, the answer is yes. We are available to do that.
And so, Paul, just jumping in here, Pat, I know Mr. Blake has done a great job when he's been to the commission, very similar to, I think, what you're probably on in Prince George's County, Amber, in Montgomery County. And they do a great job. He gets a standing ovation all the time. A lot of questions on paratransit. And
So Ms. Anderson,
if I could just, Mr.
Chair. Okay. You're going to go ahead. Okay. So,
yes. Go ahead. So for customer outreach and information on services and signing up, yes, that's generally out of Chris Colbert's office, eligibility outreach and eligibility certification and outreach.
And I see Mr. Johnson is here, so from eligibility.
Right. What I hear Ms. Amber speaking of, perhaps I do more of that if we're talking about policy discussions. And yes, I go to, and I do generally speaking, the policy discussion appearances, and I'm always available. There is a group out in Prince George's of low vision and blind community stakeholders. And, you know, we speak maybe once a quarter, and I've done other policy discussions before. I know you don't call it the taxi commission, but the group that regulates taxis out there. So depending on the topics, we definitely have people prepared to come out and speak about WMATA services for sure.
Okay, right. So specifically, we have it on every third Wednesday of the month. I could take it back to my leadership and see if a follow-up. I just want to get that base information because our leadership is brand new. We got new chair. We got a lot of new commissioners. When I brought up the conversation of Metro Access, it was like, what is that? So that's why I thank you for that. So I will definitely follow up.
So I would say follow up with a new. She will get you to the correct person in Mr. Blake's office or Mr. Blake himself, his contact information. So those arrangements can be made.
Thank you.
All right. And news that before Doris speaks, anyone else you have on your customer comment list?
Chair, no, we do not. And before Doris speaks, if I could just offer our office number to Amber Woods so that she can contact us. Ms. Woods, if you would like to take the phone number, I'll be happy to share that with you.
I do. I'm able to do that now. I just had a, you hear my JAWS screen reader in the background. Yes, what is that number now?
That would be 202-962.
You said 962?
Yes, 1100. If you would call and provide us with your contact information, we'll be happy to share more information with you.
Okay.
Thank you. Doris, go ahead.
Yes, so Paul and members of the subcommittee, the reason I asked the reason you put me on this list is to be able to say my comment relating to the Uber system of contacting you about your ride. And
go ahead.
I just wanted to say that my experience, I'm not, at least not now, a Metro Access rider. But for the Silver Line opening, I was scheduled to ride Uber. And my experience was like Patrick's receiving messages, you know, in the middle of the night, and also receiving a million messages in the morning. And there are two things about it. One was that although I think it's great that they're constantly contacting you, sometimes I think it might be a bit overkill. And then secondly, and it's particularly in the morning because if I had been getting ready, you know, before my window, I would have received these calls, and since I got them by telephone, it would have been, you know, very bothersome. The phone would ring, and I'd have to run from the other room and all that. But the other thing I wanted to say that I think is important to at least check out is that the computer speech that was used on the call, I couldn't figure out who the hell it was calling me. The only reason I could was once they were saying when something was going to arrive, but I was thinking, who is this coming from? The Metro Access, you know, billing center, you know, it's, you know what I'm trying to say, the central what do you call the reservation center, or whether it was coming from somebody else, and I wasn't sure which provider it was coming from because the voice was very hard to understand. So that might be something you want to look into.
Thank you so much, Doris, for your feedback. With this time here, just wanted to see if any other members have anything to contribute in this last 10 minutes or a motion to close the meeting that they have. Maybe anyone has anything burning. I know, New, you want to give your normal spiel, so let me let you give that right now before everyone flies out.
Okay, thank you, Chair Samuelford. I just want to share that anybody who's looking to provide us with their public comments can do so before or after the meeting as well. The phone number where our office can be reached is 202-962-1100. Please call and leave a message, and we are quite prompt in returning your phone calls.
All right.
You can also be contacted at an email, metroaacchair@wmata.com. Thank you. Do you want to make one more comment?
Go ahead.
About the Hettinger Award? I have just again sent the criteria, if anybody needs it, for the Hettinger Award, and I have also Ms. Rush sent the a list of accomplishments by Mr. Hamby. And that has been sent to all of the AAC members.
Oh, Mr. Blake, I have one more tiny comment before we adjourn.
Good news.
Sure.
Are you still there, Mr. Blake?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm just a tiny little pitch. And you may want to talk to your staff, like I experienced on Friday. The hesitancy, it rarely happens, of your staff with a late trip of getting an Uber that I have to go through two people. I don't understand.
Well, I want to tell you, I don't either. And while they're not my staff per se, they are Metro's vendors. And so I try to be delicate in how I provide criticism to them.
Or love.
This is the policy I've established going on 2 years now. Why this still happens, I don't know. So I hate to put her on the spot, but I know she is the vendor, and we haven't heard from her in a couple of hours since this meeting. So Ms. Ridgewell, are you there? Now, we had a nice, healthy conversation on Friday. Do you want to provide Mr. Semaford and the public as to
because it's not only just me, it's just if it's happening to me, I know it's happened to other
people. That's why I say, Mr. Semaford and the public, as to what you're going to do to ensure your team adheres to the policy I've established, which is, for the record, and I don't see Ms. Ridgway, if she's there, she can come on screen real quick, but the policy is, if a customer's trip is late or is projected to be late, and they ask to have their trip transferred to an Uber, that request is honored without question. That is the policy. And so while you had to speak to two or three different people about that, they gave me some rationale and some reasons, but I'm trying to see here if Ms. Ridgway is still on there, and I don't see her name on here. So maybe she stepped away before I put her on the spot. But I gave them some strong words. I was really disappointed with the team Friday about this. And as you said, if it's happening to you, they're negotiating with other customers about whether or not they should be on Uber or not. And that's really not the job of the team. Your trip,
especially when the trip is getting later, like when I called you at least 20 minutes beyond the window and it's still going on.
Right.
And I haven't been picked up.
You stated you wanted to go on Uber. That's the policy. You go on Uber. And why? Now, they did explain in your particular case, the dispatcher thought the vehicle would get there faster than an Uber vehicle. And I had to just reiterate to them the policy and tell them it's not their job to try to focus on that. Let's focus on the wishes of the customer and grant the customer their wish. And in this case, it was an easy decision. And The fact of the matter is the Uber did get there faster than the Metro Access. So it wasn't a good thing all the way around, but I'm glad you informed me. And that gave me something to do Friday evening instead of taking a nap.
Okay. All right. So with that, I'm going to get a motion to, and we'll follow up on that, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye. Have a wonderful, happy, good.
Aye.
All right. This meeting is closed. Everyone have a wonderful, happy holidays.
Yes.
Thank you.
Allison, how about the Chiefs?
You did a great job, Mrs. Anderson.
Yeah. Go.